Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us again here on Radio Tyneside via Hospedia, your bedside entertainment system. I saw an eye-catching cartoon in a newspaper once. It was a cartoon drawing showing many people milling around in a street, all looking most concerned about something. Many speech bubbles floated above their heads as each person asked the very same question, which was, "What can one person do?" They all looked so very lost. It seemed that they all had good intentions, but that's as far as it went. No one was actually doing anything. If we too have convinced ourselves that the world's problems are far too vast and complex for us to handle, and that we're far too insignificant and inexperienced to play a part, then nothing will ever get done. In today's programme, we'll be hearing about a group of people who recognised a problem and did get something done. Together, they just got on with the job. In fact, their togetherness now is their strength. This is something Jesus prayed for with great fervour, that his followers might be one, and that love would be shown in action, and not just in word only. Let's open our programme today with a great song called "Love Lifts Us Up," sung here by Joe Cocker and Jennifer Warne. The group of people that I've just referred to are Volunteers for North East Homeless, or NEH. It's a registered charity bringing relief to vulnerable individuals in the North East by way of food, clothing and practical support in order to help those who've become powerless to improve their lifestyle and reconnect with the world around them. It was a real eye-opener and a privilege when I went to interview their founder, Brian Burridge, along with his team of volunteers on the streets of Newcastle. Brian started volunteering for a different homeless charity about 3 years ago, but decided to branch out in order to reach the most vulnerable in a more effective way, for he could see there were some pretty desperate people who were slipping through the net of communication and support, who were not receiving the immediate help they needed. when I arrived at the NEH stall that Sunday evening at the end of March, vegetable soup and a hot meal had already been served out. In the space of half an hour, over 60 hungry homeless people had been fed. So my programme comes to you this morning, set against the background noise of city nightlife. I asked Brian how it all started. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
What motivated you to take up your present post for North East Homeless? And did you see it as just as a job at first, or was there a reason?
No, it was when I was younger, I nearly ended up homeless myself through a relationship breakdown, and it was too close to the wire for comfort. And I can understand why people are on the streets, and it's just something in us that thinks that person needs fed, they need some shelter, they need to talk to people. It's that type of thing that motivates us, not the job, you know.
Right.
Because we don't get paid for it, we're all volunteers.
You're all volunteers.
No one takes any money for it. It's it's just a help, really.
How many volunteers do you have then?
We have about 60. We don't have 60 out every outreach. We've got 3 outreaches to cover every week.
Right.
And it's people might do one a month, people might do 2 a week. It depends, it's just like a drop in.
Right. So is this just a Sunday night that you do, or are you putting in lots of hours during the week?
We
too?
Do the static outreach outside the Theatre Royal in Newcastle on a Sunday evening, 7 o'clock. And we do a one on a Tuesday and a Friday, but we call them walkarounds, where we'll go looking in doorways for people and feed them and talk to them and support them that way.
Mm. How many people do you think are homeless in the North East and in Newcastle?
The question that is, you can't answer it. We work closely with Newcastle Council, and their official figures are, they did a walk around in November and counted people, and they found 6.
Uh-huh.
And tonight outreach, I think we're hitting 60.
60? Oh, didn't think as many as that. And some must go under the radar and just what's not be counted.
There's
how
loads.
Do you get a,
yeah.
you know, a really
And that's what I say to
number.
Them, because lots of homeless groups work with the council, but when they did this official count, none of the homeless groups were invited to do the count, and I could have took them to somewhere where I know there's about 20 tents and not far from here, but they didn't go.
So it's a false number, really.
Yeah.
So how do they get food and clothes, and where are the places where they can shelter rather than be out on the streets?
A lot of them don't shelter. A lot of them are genuine street friends. We call them street friends, we don't call them homeless people. But a lot of them do sleep in parks and like Exhibition Park, stuff like that, down on the quayside. It's like we know, a lot of them knows by name now. And it's the first time we did the Sunday night outreach, we got 7 street friends come to work. And like I say, tonight we've had nearly 60.
Nice.
So it's, and that's in the space of 8 weeks.
Wow.
And a lot of people are. There is people there that aren't genuinely homeless, but they might be on the bones. They might have nothing. They might have to get to a Sunday and they can't eat. They haven't eaten for 2 days. They come here and eat. Or they're in threat of getting eviction because the benefits. It's like I, Daniel Blake. It's a true story.
Nice.
We see it all the time. But when it came out in the film, I wasn't surprised because I see it every week.
Yes. I haven't seen that film myself, but... Where is it on? You know, where can people go to see it?
It's on a loads of places. I've got it on DVD.
I don't see it in the main cinemas.
I've got it on DVD. I will lend it.
All right. I'll look forward to it. You're a registered charity, aren't you?
Yep.
Which are the other registered charities, particularly in Newcastle?
In Newcastle, there's us and the shelter. But shelter are more of trying to get people into accommodation, where we're on the streets to feed people. There's lots of Facebook groups that do the same type of work, but they're not classed, well, not registered charities.
Have you seen the old man in the closed down market kicking up the paper with his worn-out shoes? In his eyes you see no pride, and held loosely at his side yesterday's paper telling yesterday's news. So how can you tell me you're lonely and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. Show you something to make you change your mind.
I then asked Brian what kind of support his street friends needed and how he and his volunteers could provide for them. I also asked where it was that their street friends took shelter.
But the volunteers you've got here, though?
Yeah.
We've got four of them, I can see.
No, we've got six, seven of them tonight.
Seven? And you have a van over there. What's that
van for?
That's
my van. I use my van for this.
And what's inside the van?
That's donations. I came with an empty van tonight. A God-given bags. It happens every week. I get bags of clothes, toiletries, food. So we just look after our street friends like that.
And is that because of an appeal through the Facebook?
It's through Facebook. It's through word of mouth. I'll get a message off someone I don't know saying I've got 50 pairs of gloves. Can you take them? Yes, I can.
Yes.
My wife goes mad because I can't say no to anything.
Yes.
Because I think, well, someone will want 50 pairs of gloves at some point.
So you keep them in the van?
I just keep, well, yeah, it's like every cupboard in the house. If I open the door, stuff falls out because I haven't really got the space, but I don't want to say no.
I've seen about four or five street friends. I had imagined that they would all be here in a big group because I remember the group under the bridge down on the quayside. I remember singing there once and there was a big group of people.
Yeah.
They seem to be coming here in drips and drabs, don't they?
Wicked. Different. It's different. Obviously, it's different levels of... we've got people asking about what we're doing now. Sorry.
It's good that people do that. Stop
people
volunteers
stop,
and ask what you're doing.
People stop asking. Can I just speak to this lady?
Yes.
Can we just stop that for 2 seconds?
It was very heartening that evening seeing passers-by stop and ask how they could get involved. Four local people did this in the space of 1 hour. This is what one of them wanted to know.
We have a lady here who says she's from Malta and she's got a question for Brian.
So I'd like to know how I can get sort of involved in your organisation, please.
So if you go on the Facebook and look for NEH, Northeast Homeless, have a click. That'll tell you everything, the type of work that we do. We've got 5,000 members on there at the minute. And we do 3 outreaches a week. We do a Monday, Friday and a Sunday. The Sunday night one is outside the Theatre Royal in Newcastle.
That would suit me fine.
It's a static table, so don't move.
Mm-hmm.
The other two we do are the 7 o'clock as well, but they're a walk-around one.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are in doorways and they don't like to come to the table. Because I said when we first started it, it's a pride thing. You go to a table and you ask for food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that blew my mind. It's like... But we sometimes go into doorways and speak to people and what are you doing here, what do you want, we'll give them some food. And there was one lad I spoke to and he says that you're the first person I've spoken to for 3.5 weeks. I couldn't imagine not speaking to someone for 3.5 weeks.
No.
Could I just ask you a few questions as well?
Yes,
you're just
certainly.
Walking past here
yes.
tonight though. What made you stop and ask about what's going on here?
Well, I was speaking to my colleague who's also from university and I was saying there's something I'd like to do to help and then she said, they're here, why don't you go and talk to them?
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, well, nothing's going right, close your eyes and think of me and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name and you know wherever I am I'll come running, oh yeah babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, now all you got to do is call and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend.
Mm-hmm.
If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door.
That song was You've Got a Friend by James Taylor. Now let's hear from some of Brian's volunteers. First, a young lady called Carly. I'm just talking to one of the volunteers here, a young lady called Carly, and she's going to just give me a little bit of information about why she's a volunteer.
I kind of volunteered because I really wanted to make a difference. I found it really rewarding. And I think it's kind of, when you go shopping and things, you see kind of the odd person who, you know, is sitting on the streets asking for money, but it's kind of like, it's a social thing as well for people now. So everybody comes and, you know, we'll support them, give them clothes, toiletries, have a bit of a chat, and kind of it's a starting point for people that actually come off the streets as well. Mm-hmm. People will want to, you know, a lot of people do want to be helped and want to go back into accommodation.
Right. So how did you know Brian?
Brian was my next door neighbour.
How you got involved?
Yeah, he lived next door with his family but moved. I found NH on his Facebook and added him, and I really wanted to help.
And just got on chatting to him and found out about. And how long has this been going? It's a relatively new charity, isn't it?
Yes, but this outreach here on a Sunday has only been going about 8 weeks.
Oh, right.
So 8 weeks it's been going. I've been coming for about 4, but people have been really generous. We've had absolutely bagfuls bringing every week, really good.
You weren't cutting people's hair last week. I hear someone was.
Yes, cutting people's hair.
You were?
No, there was an actual hairdresser come.
Oh,
and he had a, I don't know what it's called, for the shears. I think it was about 8 or 9 people had the haircut.
Really?
So it was good.
And what's your normal job?
I'm a community nurse. I work with adults with learning disabilities, but who have physical needs.
I spoke to a few more volunteers after Carly, and they told me how they came to be involved. Right, so I'm just asking a few more volunteers around this table here how they got involved and what drew them to NHS in particular. Could I ask you first?
You can, yes. I work at Newcastle College,
right.
And we had Mary and Tom from Outreach come and give a talk to our students.
Right.
And that's when I became interested in the charity.
Oh, really? That's great. What about you? You've just been here 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've been following Brian and the North East Homeless team for about a year on Facebook, and I've donated quite a few clothes and things to the charity. So I actually came and did my first volunteer session last week and really enjoyed helping people, so I've come back this week.
Do you have training for this kind of thing?
No, I've worked in cafes
and
things.
Roll your sleeves up.
Yeah, roll your sleeves up and get on with it. Yeah.
And your name's Mary?
Mary, yeah.
I'm a veteran.
One of the volunteers.
Right.
I got involved through Brian as well. He's friends with my nephew's wife, and she liked his page, and I started to read it.
Yes.
And I just messaged him, and he said, just come along and see what you think.
That's wonderful. How many?
I've done it for about a year now.
A year,
and we're all looking at doing training for
everybody.
It's a
relatively new charity of 6 weeks, isn't
this
it?
Yes, but Brian used to go to a different one, and I went there with him, and then I came to this one.
And you helped him there, and then transferred here. That makes it clear.
Yeah.
A few more passers-by then stopped to make inquiries. Hello there.
Hi.
You're just passing by. Two young ladies here, and they just asked Carly a question. What was that question you asked there?
They just said, what company are you working for, and when do you do it? And Carly's
how can we help?
How can we help in any way?
Isn't that wonderful? People on the streets of Newcastle here just passing by, wanting to know what they can do on their part. And I'll be asking that Brian that question later on. But do have a chat to Brian.
Yeah.
He's the coordinator here.
It's
and
amazing.
I'm sure he'll be pleased to answer your questions for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I noticed on Brian's NEH website this message. A diamond is a chunk of coal that did well under pressure. So I asked him what kind of pressures he faces doing work like this.
Pressures. I worry that we haven't brought enough food out.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight we had a big metal pot of spaghetti bolognese and we ran out. And to me it's like, if you've got the if you've got the courage to go up to a table and ask for food and the person turns around and says, "We haven't got any," that's like my biggest
that's
worry.
Like a slap in the face.
It's like, oh my god, I'm already down there and I've got the courage. I've seen you have a few weeks, I've got the courage to come and ask you and you haven't got any. That's like it is it's got a stigma attached to it that people appreciate what we do but they don't want it on their doorstep. I've been approached in the past about what we do is great. People say, oh, they'll always start the conversation with, "What you do is great and I love what you do, but can you do it around the corner?" And it's like, what? Yeah, they like the idea that we help and feed people but they don't want it on their doorstep, and that's still a big thing that we're trying to fight, I guess, and overcome. Yeah,
I'd like your advice on this, Brian. Passers-by are often advised not to hand money out to someone begging because they might not be genuine, or the gift of money could feed an addiction. So what do they do?
And I totally agree. I would tell people myself, don't give money out to people on the streets. There's a drug going around at the minute that's called Spice, and it's an imitation drug. It's a plastic drug. It's really harmful. You can buy a bag of Spice for £2. Right. Now, if you've got addictions and someone, if you give £2 to someone, they'll be round the corner and buy a bag of Spice, which is drugs, and it's, like I say, it's killing people. So my advice would be not to give anyone any money. Maybe ask them what they want. Sometimes people say, "Oh, I'll go and get my Greggs and a cup of tea and I'll take it over," and they don't like Greggs and they don't like cups of tea. So why can't you just go up and say, "I don't want to give you any money, but I'll buy you a cup. Oh, what would you like?" And they'll tell you what they want. You can go and so you can do it that way. Or they might just want someone to talk to. I've sat down in the middle of Newcastle and just talked to someone for 10 minutes.
Just to chat to them, find out what their name is, and so on.
And they'll say it's the first person I've spoke to for days.
I hear you advertise for tents and things like that on your Facebook. Anything else that you're in need of?
Yeah, we've done a tent campaign last Christmas. All together we've had about 200 tents donated, and we'll call it Sponsor a Tent for a Tent for a Street Friend. Right. And it's basically, in my eyes, a tent is the cheapest sort of cover to save someone's life. It's not to encourage begging, or it's not to do anything like that. It's just to keep the rain and the cold and keep someone in shelter.
Yes.
In my eyes, it's a difference between someone staying alive or dying.
One last question I have for you. You were telling me before that you can support people to get them off the streets. How do you do that?
We work with a company called Miller & Wallace. They've got accommodation in Blythe, North Shields, Cramlington. And what it does is it works solely with Street Friends, and it works off their benefits, whatever benefits they can get. It's a stepping stone to getting off the streets. The Miller & Wallace will help them with that forms for benefits and PIP or anything like that, and it's like the rent will come out of them, the housing benefits. So they'll rent a room, they'll share the kitchen and bathroom, stuff like that, and it's to get them off the streets for shelter. So they get a postcode, they can start applying for jobs, and that we can also signpost them to different organisations, addictions, any mental health doctors, stuff like that.
Have you been successful so far?
We've just got one lad off the street. He's a 28th off the street in the space of maybe 6 months. So it's like I say all the time, one person off the street's great, but 28 is fantastic.
Brian is quite right. Getting 28 people off the streets and into accommodation with support for their future is indeed an amazing achievement and worth supporting. And so I wish Brian and his team of volunteers every success for the future as they ended their evening. Two more quotes that I discovered on their website are also worth hearing. One is a Scottish proverb which says this: "Never judge anyone by appearances. A rich heart may be under a poor coat." The other one says this: "God uses broken people like you and me to rescue broken people like you and me." To think that these volunteers give up their time to serve others selflessly well into the night reminds me of a prayer by Saint Ignatius of Loyola. You may want to echo it in your hearts this morning as you listen. Teach us, good Lord, to serve thee as thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing that we do thy will. And so we're going to finish our programme today with the actual voice of a street friend, an elderly man, serenading us with his favourite hymn. It was recorded late one night by a volunteer as he lay on the streets outside a pub called the Elephant and Castle in London. Listen carefully, and you just might hear a couple of other voices too from the streets of Newcastle. It's been lovely talking to you this morning. Bye for now.
This one thing I know, for he loves me so. Jesus' blood never failed me. Yes, never failed me. Yes, Jesus' blood never found me.
What does Northeast Homeless mean to you? This you're still here.
A lot, because I've been going to the kitchens for years. Because I was homeless for 6 months, but I still go anyway because at the minute I'm on university credit and they've sanctioned me money. I've had no money since the 2nd of January. So basically, I've got to come to the kitchens and places that just get some food to eat and a hot drink.
How do you, where do you sleep at night?
I've got somewhere to live, but I might not be there much longer because with them sanctioning me my money, I can't pay my top up on the rent. So now I'm rent arrears, I can't afford food.
So is this place your only source of
food? This is the only reason.
Never found me. Yes.
Well, I was on the streets for 6 months with my partner died 3 years ago, 3 years next month.
Never found me yet. This one thing.
I've been in a hospital. I've been in Salvation Army Hospital, and I've said I wouldn't let them go back there again because, put it politely, the women there, the feet are
me. Yes, Jesus' blood never found me.
Yet. Well, I was first on the streets from the care home. Social services took me from care, placed us at my mum's front door, told my mum I was her responsibility again. They left and she closed the door on my face.